Hello and welcome to Irish Science Fiction. This is going to be Nancy Goodaim, the Space Ranger, Chapter 29. And in the last chapter, Nancy had an adventure with a Cantabular Glimp. And in this chapter, her colleague encounters the crew of their sister ship on the Mars mission, the San Laika 2. So, hopefully the story is starting to build up a bit of shape. We're getting into the second half of it now, and it'll finish towards the end of the year. So if you've been following so far, thanks very much. If you haven't, this probably won't make a hell of a lot of sense to you, but you'll give it a go anyway and see what you think. Okay, a hen, it's a daw, it's a tree, and away we go. Hey, what are you two doing here? European Space Agency mission specialist Bart McMorrow had walked through the streets and passageways of the Jupiterian seaside town of Claspabroan and the surrounding villages before wandering out into the rocky interior of the nonchalant Canclonic expanse. He had done so while carrying a ladder and a half dozen dead spontaligers. He had walked past 5 Sozniak patrols, 23 busy open-air canteens, and 68 medium-sized glass and stone Jupiterian buildings, and found himself on a small, narrow trail heading inland. Now, if you are unfamiliar with the coastline of the Jupiterian Sea of Uncertainty, and the Claspabroan locality in particular, then you should know that Bart had passed by Hockleston, New Flotnick, Barngankle, Upper Flonkton, Grimple, and Hypokanonk before heading inland into the rocky interior beyond those settlements. The Jupiterians in all 6 of these settlements would have been shocked to see a ladder carrying extraterrestrial passing them by were it not for the magical powers of the Ladder of Insignificance, which meant anyone carrying or holding it becomes invisible to the thoughts and minds of all living things, except robots, one of whom, Spontaliger's transportation robot FZB-3158, was slowly and clumsily following behind Bart. Robot STR FZB-3158 had been noticed by the Jupiterians in Hockleston, New Flotnick, Barngankle, Upper Flonkton, Grimple, and Hypokanonk, and as it passed, it inspired comments of, "Stupid machines! Hey, someone ought to deactivate that thing! It's a liability! Typical rubbish Sozniak machine, doing everything except what it's supposed to. And to think, Jupiterian jobs have been replaced by junk like that. You wouldn't catch a Jupiterian docker wandering about aimlessly during a workday. Where's that thing off to?" And, "Leave it be, it's headed for the Canclonic Expanse. It'll never survive out there. At least that'll make one less of the bloody things." Robot STR FZB-3158 had detected and logged all of the comments it prompted, filed them, analysed them, and finally deleted them. Such is the way with robots. "What are you two doing here?" repeated European Space Agency mission specialist Bart McMorrow. "Did ye get lost or something? I thought ye were supposed to be orbiting Mars." "The ye two?" he was asking, were European Space Agency mission specialist Francis Donnelly and European Space Agency mission specialist Owen McLaughlin. He had spotted them on a bend in the trail about 11 kilometres past the Jupiterian settlement of Hypokanonk. Well, he had spotted the San Laika 2 lander first. It was sitting on bare rock roughly 10 feet to the left of the trail that Bart had been following. Bart could make out the low, dark blur of faraway mountains in the distance. He'd been watching this blur as he walked to try to gauge if he was getting closer. The horizon to his left and right stretched to the distance in a barren expanse of strewn grey boulders of varying sizes and exposed rock. The shiny white carbon fibre and alloy panels of San Laika 2 came as a surprise. So did seeing his colleagues Owen and Francie. They were seated at a long wooden A-frame picnic bench next to the path and facing towards the spacecraft. The table had a half dozen empty pint glasses and an ashtray on top of it. Bart would have noticed them earlier had he not been too busy looking at the San Laika 2. He was briefly distracted by the familiar outline, as he knew every part of the structure in exact detail. In theory, it was identical to San Laika 1, and yet the spacecraft he was looking at seemed somehow different. Francie had been smoking and casually tapped the top of her cigarette into the ashtray. "We are up to having a few drinks. What are you up to?" she said.
"Taking this ladder for a walk," explained Bart.
"How come you're on Jupiter?"
"Oh, just for a very complicated reason, you know, much to do with the efficiency of orbits, so we just thought it best to come here for the scenery," explained Francie.
"I didn't know you smoked, Francie," noted Bart.
Francie swiftly threw the cigarette onto the rocky ground and stubbed it out.
"Do I not?" she said. "Sorry, I forgot." "What are you apologising for? I don't care if you smoke or not, just so long as you keep it away from the oxygen tanks."
Francie nodded to Owen. It was a brief nod, the kind of nod intended for one person and one person only.
"Oxygen tanks, Bart," she said. "Oxygen tanks, you say? Are they part of physics?"
Bart shook his head slowly. He carefully placed the Ladder of Insignificance onto the ground next to the table and sat down on the wooden seat opposite where Francie and Owen were seated, which meant his back was to San Laika 2. He gestured at the dozen or so empty pint glasses on the table.
Have you been drinking long?
Yes, we have been very long drinking, said Owen. He then nodded at Francie. It was a similar nod to the one Francie had just given him. So, Bart, are oxygen tanks part of physics?
Everything is part of physics. Everything you see. Are ye too juiced?
Everything. I knew it, exclaimed Francie.
Just like magic, only better, because you don't need wizards.
What is juiced? Asked Owen.
Mission Specialist McMorrow, where did you just come from?
Came a familiar voice from behind Bart. Bart turned to see European Space Agency Mission Commander Catherine Bishop staring at him. Her face had a look of both surprise and suspicion, which meant her eyes narrowed but her eyebrows were raised.
Cathy, have you been on a beer too? I thought you hated drink.
No, I do. What just happened? I've been monitoring our surroundings and there has been nothing to indicate life nearby. And yet you suddenly just appear at the bench next to these two. As if by magic!
Owen coughed. Francie cleared her throat. Cathy frowned. Bart looked at Cathy and then to Owen and then to Francie. He then looked back at Cathy. Her furrowed brow definitely belonged to the class of expressions that displayed suspicion.
Oh, wait, said Bart finally. I see what you mean. This is because I was carrying the ladder of insignificance. It makes everyone ignore you. So if you're carrying it, you seem invisible. I just put it down. So that's why it looked as if I just magically appeared.
Cathy's brow remained furrowed.
What are you talking about? Where are Jerry and Nancy? Are they okay? Where is this ladder you were talking about? She asked. Nancy's fine. She's hanging out with a bunch of Dupitarians in a forest. I don't know where Jerry is. I thought he was a G. The ladder is down here, somewhere. Right, I can't find it now. But it's about the place, and you can't see it. That's just the kind of ladder it is. I can't explain it. Right.
European Space Agency Mission Commander Catherine Bishop's expression changed to even deeper suspicion.
Right,
she said again. She looked around as if expecting to see someone or something else. There was nothing else except exposed flat rock, strewn grey boulders, low mountains in the far distance, a narrow shingled path, European Space Agency Mission Specialist Bart McMorrow, European Space Agency Mission Specialist Owen McLaughlin, European Space Agency Mission Specialist Francis Donnelly, a picnic bench, a spacecraft, several empty pint glasses, and an ashtray.
I leave ye to it so,
Cathy said suspiciously. She then turned around, walked back across to the spacecraft, and climbed in the open airlock.
Do you want a drink, Bart?
Asked Owen.
What have you got? A porter, brown ale, and lager.
And they're all on draft,
added Francie.
Draft?
Asked Bart.
Yes, draft, repeated Francie.
Us Earth humans like draft things. Gotta be the porter, so. Where did you get the kegs?
In the European Space Agency spacecraft, just next to the, you know, physics-related apparatuses and things. Hold on, I will fetch you a drink.
Francie then stood up from the table, walked over to the San Leica 2 landing module, climbed inside, and reappeared with three pint glasses of brown liquid. She then returned to the table, placed them on the table, and sat back down next to Owen so that she was facing Bart. Bart took one of the glasses and swallowed several mouthfuls.
Hey, I'm surprised Control let you take kegs of beer on the lander, he said. Was it Cathy that pulled a few strings for you?
Yes, replied Francie. Many, many strings. Isn't that right, Owen? Did not Cathy pull strings on the journey here?
Oh, yes, agreed Owen. She certainly did. She spent the most vast amount of her time involved in the business of string pulling. She was, very consistent with it.
Yes, yes, Owen, that is right. And so, Mission Specialist Bart McMorrow, tell us about physics.
Lads, no offence, but the two E's sound like you're away with the fairies. I thought you were a bit odd, but interplanetary travel must have sent you over the edge. What's the story with Cathy, anyway? Is she suddenly too good to sit and drink with us?
Asked Bart.
No, yes, no, she is not too good. She is of an approximate human value score equal to me and European Space Agency Mission Specialist Owen McLaughlin. Is not she so, Owen? Can you confirm to Mission Specialist Bart?
Yes, said Owen. Bart shrugged, shook his head slowly, and took several large gulps from the pint glass in his hand, which finished the contents.
Not bad! That drink lasted the journey well.
Yes, agreed Francie. It did. It did last well. I will get you another, and then you can tell me all about physics.
Stay where you are, said Bart. I'll get the drinks this time.
Bart stood up from the table, grabbed three empty glasses from it and walked the 10 feet from the bench to the airlock door of the San Leica 2 lander. Inside the door, he found a very surly-looking Catherine Bishop sitting on one of the modular cabin seats and frowning at a laminated manual. She glanced over at Bart as he entered.
These operating procedures are gibberish, she muttered. Don't look at me, I didn't write them, said Bart.
He pointed out to a counter, beer taps and drinks tray that had somehow been incongruously fitted next to the flight and main display console.
Fair play to you for getting the drink out here. That couldn't have been easy.
Hey, there's no way Staunton would have been able to do that, even if he wanted it. Sorry, I know that man's a friend of yours, but he's a bollocks.
Cathy didn't reply, other than to utter the word, huh. She continued frowning at the manual.
Bart tested all three taps and drank a sample from each before filling the glasses.
Are you not going to join us outside, Cathy?
He asked.
No, no, I will not. Not till I figure out what is going on.
Suit yourself.
Bart carefully stepped out the airlock and retraced his steps over to the wooden bench where Owen and Francie were patiently waiting for his return.
Let us talk of physics, said Francie as Bart sat down facing them.
Yes,
agreed Owen. Bart took a swig of porter.
I once had a book about quantum physics,
he said.
Good, agreed Francie.
What did it describe? I don't know, I didn't want to affect the outcome, so I never read it,
said Bart.
Why would you have a book and never read it? Asked Francie. Did it not contain information?
Was it the same book as Mission Specialist Catherine is reading? Asked Owen.
How could it be that one?
Snapped Francie.
Eh? That one is a special Jupiterian type of book, Owen.
Hiato or not, said Bart. Are you sure it's just a drink you've been at?
Yes,
said Francie.
No, said Owen. We've been just at the usual European Space Agency human activities since the beginning of time. Or as close to that as you would expect.
Bart took a long drink.
You two never change, he said. You're a pair of dorks if ever I met some. What's the crack with Cathy? What did you do to her that she won't come out for a drink?
We did nothing to Mission Commander Catherine Bishop. All is as normal to be expected from a human vessel guided by the majesty of physics,
replied Owen.
And we should discuss physics. Could you tell us all you know about that unique wizardry?
Are ye serious?
Yes,
said Owen.
Yes, said Francie. Very much so. We would like to hear everything you know about physics.
Bart took another long drink, finishing his glass.
Fair enough, so, but one of ye will have to get more drinks.
I will do so, Mission Specialist Bart, said Owen.
Owen then nodded slowly towards Francie, stood up and walked over to the spacecraft and returned with three drinks. Catherine followed behind him as he returned. She stopped about 5 feet from the picnic table and waited as Owen sat down and placed the drinks on the table. Cathy cleared her throat and spoke slowly and deliberately.
I don't know what this is, but I am sure that I am awake and this is real, and that something has happened to my crewmates, and I also know that whatever deception or test you three are operating will come undone.
No deception, said Owen.
Very much no deception,
added Francie.
We are your crewmates. What the hell have ye lot been up to? Are ye sure it's just drink you've been at and not the magic mushrooms?
Asked Bart.
Just drink, no magic, replied Owen. And just the standard normal behaviour for spacefaring humans with a full knowledge of physics.
Which you were about to tell us about, added Francie.
Cathy spat onto the exposed rock. The spittle soaked quickly into the ground, leaving a small damp ring. She looked around. The only things visible were the exposed rock and strewn boulders of the nonchalant Kanklonic expanse. The sky was pale blue, and the only indication of there being anything else nearby was a dark blue outline of hills in the far distance. She walked back to the spacecraft and climbed inside. Bart took a long drink from the glass Owen had placed in front of him and said,
lovely.
He then took another long drink and said,
lovely. Hey, tell me, what did you do to piss Cathy off?
We did not piss, replied Owen.
Ye can't piss, you mean. The two of ye are useless. That's why ye went on sand like a two. To keep ye as backup in Mars orbit and out of harm's way with the computers and...
Can you tell us about physics, Bart?
Interrupted Francie.
It's your turn to get the drinks, Francie,
he said. Francie nodded a reply.
I will get the drinks, but then you will tell myself and Mission Specialist Owen about the secrets to your human scientific wizardry.
Yes,
agreed Owen.
Whatever. What's the story with your accents, lads? Are you trying to sound cool for the Jupiterians?
Asked Bart.
No, sorry. Our accents are as normal for spacefaring humans.
Fair enough, Francie. Just get the drinks, will ya?
She did, and brought them back. Shortly after that, it was Owen's turn to get the drinks. And then Francie, and then Owen again. Time passed, and the sky began to darken in preparation for evening. The conversation between Bart, Owen and Francie meandered around everything and nothing. Bart talked about the smell inside sound like a one, Nancy's skill with a crossbow, how Jupiterians, in his opinion, were a bunch of knobs, the tastiness of spontaligers, and how the ESA EVA suit designers were way off the mark when it came to designing gear for space exploration. Owen talked about physics, or at least he tried to direct the conversation in that direction. Francie talked about physics, or at least she tried to direct the conversation in that direction. And then Bart got grumpy. A sort of weary, bitter, unhappy grumpiness. A sort of weary, bitter, unhappy, belligerent grumpiness that was directed at the universe in general and anyone in his immediate vicinity in particular. Which was not an ideal turn in the conversation for either Owen or Francie. Bart emptied his 8th glass of porter and announced,
"The two of ye are knobs! Ye think you're better than me, don't ye?"
"No, we do not," replied Owen.
"We do not," replied Francie.
Bart had not expected a reply to his question. He was saying it to himself as much as anyone else. He ignored the replies.
"Do the two of ye want to make something of it, do ye?"
he asked.
"Make what?"
asked Owen.
"Don't you get smart, son. I could take on the Perry right now." There are three of us.
Fine, so I'll take on a tray, ye.
Bart made to take another drink, put the glass to his mouth, and realised it was already empty.
Well, how come there's three?
He asked. Mission Commander Catherine Bishop is also a part of our crew, replied Francie.
That figure, she's an old wagon, that one.
Owen took a glance at Francie and then looked over behind Bart towards the spacecraft. Cathy had stepped out of the module and was listening in on the conversation. She was standing 4 feet behind Bart and had her head cocked.
What are you looking at, Owen? Are you looking at me? Because you'd be chewing a brick if you're looking at me in that tone of voice,
said Bart. Owen shook his head. Cathy cleared her throat loudly.
This,
she said,
is a hallucination. None of ye three exist.
The group fell silent. Bart made a second attempt to take a drink from his empty glass.
Arse,
he said.
And if this is not a hallucination, then may God forgive me, but magic is at play,
continued Mission Commander Catherine Bishop.
Or else I'm dead and my head is haunted. No magic,
exclaimed Owen.
Obligong, no, definitely not. Oh no,
added Francie.
No such thing is existing between us humans, just normal human physics and the likes. Who was asking you, Owen?
Asked Bart.
Mission Commander Catherine Bishop brought the subject of magic up, answered Owen.
I don't mean it like that. You think you're smart, Owen, don't you?
Continued Bart.
Bit of a hard chaw, are ya?
He added.
Well, I'll smash your gums out the far side of your head for you.
Bart, Cathy, Francie and Owen fell briefly silent again. Bart made a third attempt to drink from his empty glass.
What do you got to say to that, McLaughlin?
Owen stood up from the bench opposite Bart and nodded to Francie.
Maybe we better leave the questioning for this day, Francie, he said. We can try again tomorrow.
Francie stood up. She nodded in agreement and the pair began walking towards the open hatch of the spacecraft. They took a wide sidestep as they passed the seated Bart.
You better keep on running,
he muttered, and then frowned at his empty glass.
Am I hallucinating?
Wondered Cathy aloud.
I mean, you just appeared out of nowhere, Bart, but you are the most familiar thing I've encountered since the plasma discharge.
Cathy walked around the table and sat where Owen and Francie had been sitting, so that she faced Bart.
I think you're real,
she said.
I'm not hallucinating you. You're the real Bart.
Piss off, you old wagon,
muttered Bart.
It is you, Bart. Bart McMorrow, of San Laika 1. Bart, I'm glad to be talking to another human. Is Nancy alive?
You're off your head, love,
noted Bart.
I'm starving,
he added.
Is Nancy still alive?
Asked Catherine.
And Commander Staunton? Ah, Nancy's hanging out with a bunch of Jupiterian floats, swinging about in the jungle or something. And who cares about Staunton?
Cathy smiled.
It's such a relief to talk with another human. Owen and Francie are replicas or hallucinations or I don't just know. But something very strange is going on. I watched San Laika 1 begin the descent to Mars. Then nothing. No comms, no telemetry, nothing. The next thing I know, I'm here. It's like some sort of experiment. There are no functioning systems on the ship, just a couple of laminated manuals filled with gibberish, and a bar, and a dartboard. I thought I was going mad. Owen and Francie seemed to be either possessed or not human at all.
Hey, the same fine to me. They're always a pair of dopes, and they still are,
said Bart.
So what have you been up to? I just told you, Bart. How did you get here?
On top of a robot. Well, the last bit of the journey was on a robot. Before that, I was on foot, with Nancy and a gang of dorks. And before that, we were on a Martian rocket. Oh, and on foot before that. It's been a busy few days. Hey, have you tried the Jupiterian Spontalgers, Cathy? Or are you too good for them?
No, I have not.
Well, then you're in luck, because they're the nicest food you'll ever eat, and I have a pile of them stuffed down me sweaty jumper. Hang on, I'll fetch one out.
Bart squirmed about on the bench, shoved his left hand into the right sleeve of his jumper, pulled out a Spontalger, dropped it on the table, lifted his empty glass for the fourth time, remembered it was empty, placed it down, pulled a chunk of flesh from the Spontalger, slumped forward on the table and handed it to Cathy.
Here, try that,
he said. Cathy timidly took a small bite and smiled.
Wow, that's incredible. It tastes just like the belly of a tuna.
Yeah, if the belly of a tuna tasted like beefsteak, it does,
muttered Bart.
Women,
he added.
None of you are able to taste properly. Nancy said it was minty.
Aye, typical.
So Nancy's alive?
Yeah,
said Bart. He then began hungrily and noisily eating the rest of the Spontalger.
Thank God for that. We need to find Nancy and Jerry. Something is going on, Bart, and wherever it is, we stand more chance of understanding it together. You don't know how happy I am to speak with you, Bart. I've spent 4 days stuck in this pseudo spacecraft with a pair of replicants or hallucinations or I don't know what. And they keep relentlessly asking me the most basic of questions about physics. And then this morning we landed here, wherever here is, next to a picnic bench, and suddenly there were beer taps in the spacecraft. And then you appeared, literally. I thought I had lost my mind, but now there's hope. We need to find Nancy. I'm so glad it's really you, Bart. Do you think you could find your way to where Nancy is?
Bart didn't reply to the question. He had slumped forward onto the wooden tabletop of the picnic bench and fallen into a deep, noisy sleep. And that was it for the late evening on the fourth day of the first human expedition to another planet. A slightly relieved sound like a two European Space Agency mission commander named Catherine Bishop, a picnic bench, a murderous and determined robot, an underground army of sorts, European Space Agency mission specialist Nancy Goodame McGinley, on her way to the settlement of Bundrasna on Jupiter. All right, and as usual, thanks very much if you've been listening. This story will continue. The next episode will be in about 2 weeks, and hopefully run right through to the summer with, hopefully, touch wood, a bit of an audio drama finale to cap it off. But again, if you've been following, thanks very much, and I'll chat you in 2 weeks.